verses 6 to 8. Excuse me. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul urges us to be anxious for nothing. Or another way of phrasing the text is, do not be troubled with cares. When we're born again into God's kingdom, we have the assurance that God cares for our needs and God has a plan for us. The Bible says that God determined the days of our life before we were born. When we surrendered to Christ, that surrender included giving God the control of our life and letting him lead us into the life he's prepared for us. The only way to be free from our anxieties is to rest confidently in his plan and submit to his will. But worries will not just disappear when we commit to trusting God. We must know his word and apply his word to our life. To be anxious for nothing, we must see God's goodness, present our cares before the throne of grace, and leave our cares in God's hands. Let's begin by looking at what it means to let our requests be known through prayer, petition, or as some versions say, supplication, and thanksgiving. Let's start by looking at prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. If there's one thing that the devil wants you to be reluctant to do, it's to pray. But everything must be done through prayer. If prayer is neglected, your spiritual life will be weak, and what you're trying to do in God will be weak. In Matthew 6, we're told, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Three times in those verses, Jesus says, "When you pray." He assumes that, of course, you will pray, and that prayer will be as much part of your life as breathing is. Jesus then instructs us to pray from the heart, but also warns us about the two errors that we can fall into. He warns us that God doesn't honour prayers done to show off our spirituality, and God also doesn't honour vain repetition. Now, that's not got to be mistaken for persistence, because persistent prayers are commended in the Bible. But vain repetition were pagan practices. The pagans believed that the power was in the words, and they should repeat specific prayers or chant mantras. But the truth is that words have no power in themselves. The power is in God. God honours the prayer that comes from the heart, and not prayer of other actions that are done to show off our spirituality. But then comes a common question that people often ask, and it comes from verse 8. If God knows what I need before I ask, why do I need to pray at all? Where to pray? Because we're commanded to pray. God doesn't need our prayers. He knows tomorrow, and he's planned every step of our life. God even knows where our decisions will take us, even when we choose to disobey and neglect him. Prayer doesn't reveal our needs to God. Prayer conditions our heart for God. Prayer teaches us to look to God. If I could go through life and never have to pray, I'd take God for granted, and in time I'd never think of God at all. Prayer is for my benefit. When I pray, it should remind me to stop and examine my life and my direction. Rather than praying to ask God to bless what I'm doing, I should be asking God to lead me to where he is blessing. Prayer is the time I spend with God. Prayer is a very important way in which God speaks to me. No relationship can grow without communication. God must be the centre of my life in order for me to live abundantly, as Jesus has promised. There are many people who live in material abundance, and yet they're destitute spiritually. You can't experience the abundance of the Christian life without an intimate walk with Christ. And without prayer, you can't walk close to Him. What about supplication? Well, in our reading it's petition, but in some of the translations it's supplication, and it's a better word, I think, anyway. It suits me better. Supplication means that we seek God and bring our cares and our needs before Him. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We can confidently come before God's throne and freely receive His mercy and forgiveness, and then we can seek His grace for our needs. Psalm 55 verse 22 clarifies that even more by telling us to cast our burdens upon the Lord and He will sustain us. When we trust Him with our need, He'll not allow us to be shaken. And that is a great promise. The problem most people have is that they're unwilling to cast their burdens on God. Either they want to first see how God's going to handle a problem, or they're not sure if He's able to handle it anyway. So they hold on thinking that they can do a better job than God can. To cast your burdens, to cast, means literally to hurl it away from you. You can't hold on if you throw it into God's trust. If you pray and then pick it back up, you haven't cast your burden on the Lord. God may test you to see if you really trust Him, but it's a promise that He'll not allow you to be moved or shaken. And one thing we must realize is that we are commanded to bring our supplications and requests before God. And that should lead us to examine our motives. In James 4, we're told that we do not have because we do not ask. If we ask and we don't receive, it's because we're seeking to fulfill our wants and not God's will. When we ask, we should be reminded to look at our life and see how it fits into God's plan. Am I asking for something that's going to fulfill God's purpose? Or is this just a self-centered bequest? If it's God's command, that leads us to His blessing. If you want to be blessed, seek out God's commands. Seek God's purpose and fulfill it, and God will bless you. God eagerly longs to pour out His blessings on each and every one. But first, you must be faithful. When you seek just the blessing, you're not seeking God. In 1 John 3:22 we read, "And receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him." If we're seeking to do things that please God, then it will be with right motive. And supplication is also praying for others. Throughout Scripture, we're told to pray for others, to pray for their sicknesses, pray for their salvation, pray for their needs. We're told to pray for those in authority and in leadership. If we spent as much time praying for our politicians as we do criticizing them, we'd see God moving. We're commanded to pray for our spiritual leaders and those who labour with us in God's purpose. And supplication is also praying for God to move. We pray for God to begin a revival. We pray for God to open the doors that we can't open. Supplication is praying and seeking the things that God calls us to accomplish. God may command us to run the race and fulfill His call, but that doesn't mean that there won't be opposition. Very often, when God calls you to His purpose, He will also lead you to a closed door. God can move a mountain and open any door, but it's yours and my responsibility to pray for God to move. When God burdens us to act upon His will, He also calls us to pray for Him to fight the cause that He's put before us and to trust in His power. God wants us to see His promises and claim them in prayer. When we know something is God's will, we can confidently pray, knowing that God will answer our prayer. Well, then we have Thanksgiving. It's interesting the way that the service has gone this morning. God blesses a thankful heart. When you give thanks, you put your focus on things worthy of thanks. Through thanksgiving, you begin to see how God is working in your life. An unthankful heart will be unthankful even if it abounds with blessings. A thankful heart will give glory to God. God is not glorified in a Christian who complains and sees only the negative things in life. 1 Timothy 6 tells us that to be godly and content is what God has given us is in what God has given us is great gain. Verse 6 tells us, godliness with contentment is great gain. God didn't promise us riches, God did promise us satisfaction and fulfillment. Until we're content with what God provides, we'll not see the great things in life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything, we give thanks. The only way we can be thankful in everything is first to learn how to offer prayer and supplication. When I can leave my problems at God's throne, I can trust in His promise that all things work together for good. Praise and thanksgiving is the best sacrifice that we can offer to God. Hebrews 13 tells us, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and share with others, for that such sacrifices God is pleased. That is God's will. Being thankful shapes our heart and our thinking so that we can look at the deeper things of God. When we're lost in our worries, we can't see anything other than our problems. When we're thankful, we're released from our burdens and we can seek God. Thanksgiving leads us into a deeper relationship with God. And then we get to verse 8 of this morning's text, and I could preach a sermon on this on its own. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about such things. I can remember being challenged in a sermon once to write that verse on a card and put it in front of the television. I did that and I didn't watch the television for 2 days because I couldn't find anything that fitted the remit. And it's that finally, isn't it? After we do all these things, applying our hearts to seek God in prayer, bringing our supplications before Him and presenting to God a thankful heart, we can finally get to meditation on the deeper things of God. When we're able to focus our mind on the valuable things of God, we'll be at peace. When we do these things, the God of peace will be with us. Meditate or let your mind focus on these things that Paul mentions in our text. Those things are whatever is true. Focus your mind on the truth as revealed in God's Word. Know God's Word. Memorize it and allow it to become part of your thinking. Whatever is noble. Noble things are things of honor. Things that are noble are things that show high moral character. To think on what is noble is to think of things that direct us to goodness. Whatever is right. To think on what is right is to think on and obey God's standard. To think on things that are pure. Think on things that put our minds on moral purity. Things that are lovely. Things that are lovely are things that are pleasing and pure and please God. Admirable. Instead of allowing our minds to wander towards the negative and dwelling on things that anger and trouble us, we need to focus our meditation on reports that uplift us and focus towards God. And the things that are praiseworthy? Well, think on things that make us stand in awe of God. Put your focus on things that call you God. The reverse of these things is to allow our mind to dwell on those who have offended us, or to think on things that cause us to worry or fret, or let our minds wander on things that are immoral. Our thoughts will either draw us towards God, or they'll carry us away from God. And just remember, that where your mind is focused, your heart will follow. If your heart is on the things of God, you'll follow Christ into a deeper relationship. Joy comes from adjusting our lives so that we are going in the direction that God is going. When our hearts and minds are on the good things of God, then we can obey him with our actions as well and know that God responds to our prayers because we are seeking him. So as our scripture tells us this morning, think on these things, because that way you'll be in tune with God. And there really can't be anything better than that. Amen.